Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Psalms, chapter 104. May the word of God fall afresh on your ears this day. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, wrapped in light as with a garment. You stretch out the heavens like a tent. You set the beams of your chambers on the waters. You make the clouds your chariot. You ride on the wings of the wind. You make the winds your messengers, fire and flame your ministers. You set the earth on its foundations so that it shall never be shaken. You cover it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke, they flee. At the sound of your thunder, they take to flight. They rose up to the mountains, ran down to the valleys, to the place that you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills, giving drink to every wild animal. The wild asses quench their thirst by the streams. The birds of the air have their habitation. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. You cause the grass to flow for the cattle and plants for people to use, to bring forth food from the earth, and wine to gladden the human heart, oil to make the face shine, and bread to strengthen the human heart. The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. In them the birds build their nests. The stork has its home in the fir trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats. The rocks are a refuge for the conies. You have made the moon to mark the season. The sun knows its time for setting. You make darkness and it is night when all the animals of the forest come creeping out. The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. When the sun rises, they withdraw and lie down in their dens. People go out to their work and to their labor until evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the sea, great and wide. Creeping things innumerable are there. Living things, both small and great. There go the ships and Leviathan that you formed to sport in it. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. Who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. We serve and worship an amazing God. If we sit and meditate on the greatness, the magnificence, just of God's hand, the masterpiece of the Creator's hand, it's absolutely amazing. How many of you watch National Geographic television or get the magazines? I love to go to the doctor's offices that have the National Geographic magazines because of the magazines. I just love to go through them. Absolutely amazing. And every once in a while, I'll get on the channel and I'll see these things about the creatures that they're still discovering, creatures that we couldn't even absolutely fathom in our own minds. It's mind-blowing, the creative genius of our God. And God didn't create out of just madness. God created with order. You notice in the psalmist's passage, the order that this psalmist sees in the created order. The lions come out at night to hunt. And in the daytime, they go back in their dens to rest. And the humans come out to work. They saw this beauty of this created order of the way things were designed by God. That there was this peace and this harmony. And God wasn't completely serious when God created. God had fun. The psalmist talks about this great beast, Leviathan, the scary creature, but yet it was put in the seas to play, to have a good time. I mean, you can just look at the platypus and see that God has a great sense of humor, right? And God continues to reveal God's self to us in creation. So this sermon series that we are going into, it's based on a catechesis. And you say, Pastor, what is a catechesis? A catechesis is a passing down of learning. Catechesis is usually what we put our children, our youth into. It's usually questions based. And then there will be a short answer that follows. So it was a sounding down. Catechesis would happen in the home from parents to child to pass on their faith. And then the church as a whole would have its own catechesis. The United Methodist Church somewhat has a formalized catechesis in what we call confirmation. Our youth that enter into 6th, 7th, and up grades will put into confirmation, and it is somewhat of a catechesis. But I will say that it's not as intense as a catechesis should be, because a catechesis is somewhat of a longer time journey. It is a continued conversation between individuals. And it is somewhat a form of discipling one another. So as we go through, this Sunday we're going to be talking about the greatness of God and how we know what we know about God. We're going to go through 6 weeks. Next week we'll talk about what it means to be human beings. What is our role? Why did God create us? Why did we mess up so bad? All right. We'll talk about Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the purpose of the church, and some other beliefs that last Sunday and the purpose for those. It's a great time to bring friends that you've been wanting to have these discussions with, that maybe these could be some discussion starters with friends you might think are struggling with what they believe. Because a lot of this is going to be very basic. You're going to leave here and go, she didn't teach me anything new. No, but I hope that as we process this together, it will give you the vocabulary and the sense of being comfortable with what you know to be able to talk about this outside of church and outside of possibly people you're already comfortable with having these discussions with already. All right. So think of it as a refreshing or an equipping, okay, as we go forward. One of the reasons that this is so very important is because we live in a culture that is struggling with Christian values. You think back in just more recent American history, the church used to be the driving force for values. Maybe not everybody believed or went to church, but everyone had a sense of agreement that the Ten Commandments were a good thing. That Christian values were a good thing, and even though some people may not have lived up to the standards of Christian values, they agreed that they were pretty good. More and more so, as we move on in time, the church is constantly being challenged. Christian values are constantly being challenged. How many years ago was it that prayer was pushed out of the schools? Public prayer, not prayer, but public prayer. We're still allowed to pray on school property ourselves, or a group of us that agree. But it's, I remember being a kid and my teacher would open up the class with prayer. We would do the Pledge of Allegiance and then we would pray together. And even sometimes we would have scripture read to us. It was a long time ago. And I thought just as we got older that we stopped doing that just because that's not what older kids did. I didn't realize the political arena that was changing in the school system as I was a kid. We went through a time in the 80s and 90s where it was driven into our skulls that it is good to be politically correct. Don't offend anyone. Well, what does being politically correct mean? It means don't talk about your religious faith. You don't want to offend anybody because there's people out there who think different than you. So as we are being silenced and we're not balking at it, because really, well, that makes life a whole lot easier if I don't have to talk about myself or what I believe or have some really difficult conversations. That's just so much easier. Why balk at that? Well, now we are suffering with somewhat of an amnesia. We're in a post-Christian culture. It means that our churches are dying. Every denomination is struggling to keep its members. It means that, and that's just in America, it's amazing, Africa, Christianity is growing in leaps and bounds. But you know the religion that's growing in America? Do you know? Anybody want to take a guess? Muslim. The Muslim religion is what's growing in America. I think part of that is they're not afraid to speak their mind. They don't believe in being politically correct. They could care less. And we're living in somewhat of an amnesia. Many times when I've talked to parents over the years, as a youth director, later on as a minister, talking to parents, well, I just don't feel like I have what it takes. I don't have enough knowledge. I'm not strong enough in the Bible to have these conversations with my kids. Or I'm not comfortable enough to have a conversation with whoever, my coworker, my friend. You don't really have to have a fancy vocabulary. In fact, you want to talk where they're going to understand. So today we're talking about God. Now, I remember as a kid, as a youth, one of the things that we had to do, well, I remember our Sunday school teacher had us do, was draw a picture of God. Have you ever done that? We had to sit down and we were asked, what do you think God looks like? Go ahead and draw God. Well, in my imagination as a kid, God kind of looked like Father Time. You know, he sat on a throne. He had this long white beard. He was wearing robes. They were white. If you put a hat with pointed hat on him with stars, he'd look like a wizard. You know, the kind of picture that I was thinking in my head, right? If you were asked to draw a picture of God or to write what you think God is like, how would you respond in that? What do you think God looks like? What kind of attributes immediately come to your mind about God? We know that God reveals God's self. All right. So how does God reveal God's self? This is question number one. God's calling us. You hear that? God's making sure that we get it right. God reveals ourselves in two ways. Immediate ways. Immediate ways is to everyone. It's general revelation that every single human being on the planet gets this revelation. We find it in creation, and a lot of times we find it within ourselves. All right. It's kind of like that conscience, all right, that we're born with. Immediate revelation. Just being in creation. We heard the psalmist how absolutely magnificent it is that God's Spirit stirred over creation and told water, this is where you're going to be. And this is, you know, we have enough water to rise over the mountains, the psalmist says, but yet God puts boundaries on it and puts water in its place so that it can't go any further. That when God wants to change the scenery, all God has to do is touch a mountain and the scenery is changed. That when God created the world, God created out of nothing, and God reveals God's self, that God is a God of order, a God of creative impossibilities, of beauty. It's amazing how we all coexist. What we can see God's design in the created order and how we're a part of that created order. We look out at night when it is so dark and there's no lights. You know, when you go on vacation, it's hard to see in the city. That's what I love going on vacation, going out in the middle of nowhere where there are no human lighting and looking up at the stars, that big, vast, dark sky and all those stars and how overwhelming it is. And I hear that psalmist's voice saying, who are we that you are even mindful of us? They're reminding that we are so very small in the grand scheme of God's created order. Those moments when we're in the created order and we put ourselves back into our place, that we're not the one controlling the world, ruling the world. We're just a part of this place, this beautiful, beautiful place. And God's so much greater than all of the created order. Then God reveals God's self in more immediate ways, which means ways that are for certain people at certain times. Not everybody gets these revelations. Like what we see, the stories we see in Scripture, God reveals God's self to us as we read Scripture, but it's the stories of God revealing God's self to certain people at certain times, in certain places, in certain ways. As Christians, we've been revealed the side of God through Jesus Christ. It's an immediate way that we hope that everyone will receive this revelation, because it is the closest way that we know God, the clearest way that we know God is through Jesus Christ. In Christ's teachings, Christ's miracles, Christ's life and death and resurrection. God continues to reveal God's self to us on a daily basis through the Holy Spirit. God continues to create and recreate. God's a very personal God, right? God's not out there somewhere, oh, look at my creation. Isn't this great? Okay, on to the next thing. Boom. And just leaves it there. Have you ever had projects you just couldn't wait to release? And then you had these projects that you couldn't help but not let go. Like raising children. Right? And then they become teenagers. And then you're ready to let go. Right? But you know you can't. God is constantly moving in creation, recreating, and calling us out to partner with God in creation. We see in the book of Genesis where God creates this beautiful created order, creates Adam and Eve. He blesses them, tells them to multiply, which we've been really, really good at. but also to be good stewards, to be helpmates to one another and good stewards, that they were to take care of what God created. They were commissioned to do this. We're commissioned to do that. You're commissioned to take care of your part of creation, whatever that may be. That might be your lot that you own or you rent at your house. Now, right now, I'm being a really bad steward of what God's blessed me with. My flower beds need to be weeded. I need to plant some fresh flowers to make it beautiful. And when I go and look out for those plants that I want at Lowe's or wherever, it amazes me how many different types there are and what I could plant. Because God's created so many beautiful things. But if I just let that garden go, if I do not do my part, what is my flower garden going to eventually look like? Weeds, overgrown. I'll start getting letters from the homeowners association, little love letters is what I call them, because I'm not doing my part. All right. We get to participate in God's created order. We do this at work. It's not just in the natural way of life, but at work. We tend to things that fall in our realm of responsibility. When we neglect those things, it falls apart. When we neglect our relationships, they fall apart. We were created to be in relationship with one another, which brings us to the next question. What is the Trinity? The Trinity is a complicated theological concept that has been passed on to us to help us understand the unity of God and how God reveals God's self in that unity. That even though we worship one God, how many gods do we worship? One. People who are outside the Christian faith are like, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you have three gods. No, we have one. Three in one. Three persons in one? How does that work? It still sounds like three to me. Yeah, I know, it's complicated. One God. But God has revealed God's self and continues to reveal God's self. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, does your God, is God a shapeshifter? Does God change forms? He's God the Creator, and then he came to earth, and he was Jesus, and now he's the Holy Spirit. No, God is three in one. God is all-encompassing all the time. But that's how God has revealed God's self to us. That there's this unity in God. And even though God has revealed God's self in these three distinct different persons, God is still one in unity, all agreeing, all encompassing, all in relationship one, in relationship with us. God is not only personal, God is very relational and created us who were created in the image of God to be not only creative and partnering in the creation, but to be in relationship with God and with one another. And we have to work at that relationship. What happens, just like I neglect my flower garden, what happens when we neglect our relationships, our relationship with God, our relationships with one another? They fall apart. We let the weeds grow up. It takes a lot of work and effort to bring those back to health, to make them healthy and vital and beautiful. That takes work. And it's the work that we were created to do, because we were created in the image of God. Being created in the image of God means that we are God's representatives to the world. And if we're going to represent, say, our company, you just got hired on at a new company and you know nothing about this company, are you going to be able to represent them well? No. You're probably going to do an awful job. And if you don't learn really, really fast, you might even lose that job. Right? It's a good thing God has a lot of patience with us. Right? That's what it means. When we go out, for example, think about your family of origin. Wherever you went, you represented that family. I was raised in a small town, Bridge City, Texas. Everyone knew my family, the Fourniers, because there was a lot of us. We were everywhere. But I knew when I went out of that community, I represented my family, the Fourniers. I was one of them. I represented them really well because I was one of them. And I was proud of their traits. I was proud to be an introvert. I came from a family of introverts. We like good books and we like to play cards. And when we're playing cards, we want to eat lots of chippets and dip. That's who we are. So when I went out of the world, that's who I was. And that's who I represented to the world. We go out representing the family of God. We go out representing a God who has a creative imagination, who has love for us that we cannot comprehend, who wants, is so very relational, that wants a personal, long-term relationship with every single one of us. That would do anything to have that relationship. That is revealing God's self to us every single day in immediate ways, through the created order and through the presence of the Holy Spirit within us. So what would you say, or who would you say God is this morning? If you went out and someone asked you, who is this God, this Christian God I've been hearing about? What would you say about God? I want to challenge those of you who are on Facebook. All right. Some of you are going to have different homework. Some of you are going to have lots. It just depends on what you want to do, right? Because the homework, it's your work. It's not my work. It's yours. To go on Facebook and describe who God is for you. Who is this God that loves you and adores you? Who is this God that you've surrendered your life to? And if you do this, tag St. John's United Methodist Church so that we can all see that and that we can share in that conversation. Let's have a public conversation about who God is. All right, on social media. All right, number one. Number two, is there someone you can bring to church for this series as we talk about these basic concepts of the Christian faith? Is there someone you know who has some questions that you could bring? This is a great series to start those conversations that you can have lunch with them afterwards and talk about what was said at church on Sunday. And the fourth one is the easiest one. This is a challenge that I want all of you to take. All right. I'm not letting any of you off the hook for this one, is to go out and enjoy the created order. Go out to some of your places, breathe in the breeze that's been blowing, right? Maybe go out on the dike, on your back porch. Maybe even tackle those beds of weeds that have been like, that's probably what I need to do this week. Be a part of, be reminded, go out at night and listen to the crickets or try to see the stars. Go to a place where you can see them. Remember what you're a part of. Remember who created you. And just let that swallow you up. and be humbled by it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we go forward into our last song, as the band gets on stage, I want to invite anyone who is thinking about making St. John's your church home by joining this church, becoming a member by affirmation of faith or through transfer of membership, or maybe you'd even like to give your life to Christ for the first time. You can do so by coming and speaking to me as we sing this last song together. And as always, the altar rails are open for your prayers. I also want, some of you have noticed that our baptismal bowl is out. We do have a baptism next service. So if some of you would like to stay for that, you can. Little baby Kennedy Welch will be baptized the next service. So if you can stay for that, I welcome you to do so. Let's stand and sing.